In the name of God, the beneficent, the merciful, the creator and the sustainer of the universe, peace and blessings upon his servant and messenger Muhammad forever. Amen. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except the one true God, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger and servant of God. I greet you, our viewers of the Islam and Focus program, with our usual greetings, the universal greetings of peace, a greeting that has been used by all of the prophets from Abraham through the prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon them all. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be unto you. Many Canadians are facing a mortgage dilemma, especially those who are having mortgages which will come up for renewal. The high interest in the economy at the present time is wreaking havoc. There have been many suggestions that have been offered, but few offer any real relief. In today's Islam in Focus program, we'll be talking about an alternative, what we consider to be a viable alternative to the dilemma that is faced by many homeowners. I'm your host, Hamid Rashid, and I have joining me on the program, as usual, Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Brother Jamal, assalamu alaikum. I mentioned that today's program will be a special program. We're going to be talking about a program which you call SIRA, or Shared Equity in a Rental Program, an alternative method of home ownership. Before we go into the finer details of the program, could you just, in a nutshell, perhaps give us an overview of what the what SIRA is all about?
Okay, perhaps you can use that by referring to the title of the program. It says Shared Equity and Rental as an alternative for home ownership. In a way, then, it is a substitute or a possible alternative to the traditional method that we have used for too long in home ownership, and that's through mortgage loans, which involves interest, and that's another problem. It is shared equity in a sense that instead of investors giving a loan to the person who's going to own the home or to the homeowner, instead they are really investing in shares in his home. That means then that they would be entitled to some shares also of the appreciation of the value of the property. We call it also shared rental, it's shared equity and rental. Mm-hmm. Because both the homeowner as well as those who contribute the cash to buy the house or to retire the mortgage, whichever the case may be, those people are also entitled to some share in a third rental value which would be charged to the homeowner. It's true, it is eventually going to be the homeowner, but since other people are holding shares in his home, he also gets some shares of the third rental income as time goes on. This system, sir, is designed in a way that it would also allow the homeowner to gradually build up his or her equity as time goes on, or else he just continue paying rent. Mm-hmm. So help him also build up his equity and buy shares as time goes on, which means also that the amount of rental he has to pay for other investors would gradually decline, at least proportionately, in the percentage.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you've got along two charts, which I think might prove to be very useful in terms of grasping the concept. Could you perhaps take us to those charts and show us the how in specific figures the program works?
Surely. Going to the big chart here, we have a number of steps there. If you go through them very easy, you can easily grasp the system. In the first step, you have to find out what is your own equity as an owner. Of course, this house could be, for example, a house which is coming up for renewal, let's say. So you get the fair value by getting some appraisal of the property. The assumption we have in that sheet, that suppose that fair value is $50,000. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Suppose also that you want to retire a mortgage on the property, which comes to $40,000. All right?
Mm-hmm.
It means then that you hold an equity in that house based on the fair market value equivalent to the difference between $50,000 and $40,000. And that's
just the $10,000.
$10,000, exactly. All right? Now, notice here before we move to the second step that you are not talking about equity as interpreted by mortgage companies, which is usually your contribution to the principal, not of the fair market value. But in this question, we're talking here about an equity based on the fair value of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving to the second step, you can simply divide this market value into shares. If the house is worth $50,000, suppose you decide that a reasonable amount for the share would be, a reasonable price for the share would be $1,000. That means then that the value of the house can be represented by 50 shares.
Yes.
$1,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It follows from that then that if we move to the following step, in step three, that you can simply sell those shares in step three to other investors who would be interested to buy those shares. How many investors? This is a matter that it depends on the needs of people involved, their financial capabilities. For example, the 40,000 could possibly come through 10 investors putting $4,000 each, or 4 investors putting $10,000 each, or whatever other method. The beauty about the system is that it is very flexible, and you can apply it among a group of friends, a church group, a club group, or whatever other group that can provide or raise this amount of money. Now, what to do with this $40,000? That is indicated in step 4 on the chart here. Just use that money to retire the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
You notice here you have between brackets, or buy a home, because that system could apply to the case of mortgage that you want to get out of, or the case when you want to buy a house. In this case, for example, suppose you have $10,000 in cash, which is your equity, and you need $40,000 to buy the house. You simply buy it by providing this fund, or paying this fund.
Mm-hmm.
Is that clear so far?
Yes.
In terms of the division of the share.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question which comes next. What kind of benefit would the investors get? What rental? We talked about now shared equity. How about shared rental? How do they share the rental? Now, if we refer back to step 5, you notice here that it starts with a determination of the fair rental value of that property. In other words, suppose that house, which is worth $50,000 market, right, is rented, of course, as most homes are rented without use or other utilities, right? And suppose the fair rental estimate is estimated at $450 per month. Multiply that by 20, that gives you the annual rental that the homeowner has to pay to all those who share or who own shares. The amount here is $5,400. Okay? Now, since the whole system operates on the concept of sharing, it follows then that basic expenses, I'm not talking about utilities, basic expenses like, for example, taxes, insurance, should be shared by all shareholders. It shouldn't be left to the homeowner alone to pay. Okay? Now, because when you rent a home, for example, you don't pay the taxes, nor do you pay the insurance. This is the responsibility of the landlord. In this case, you have several people who have shares in the house. Now, when you deduct the $900, the chart here shows $4,500 as net rental income for the year. Now, if you divide that by 50 shares, it comes to $90 per share. So the one income for investors would be $90 for each $1,000 share by way of sharing rental. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But notice here that under this system, the homeowner does not have to pay all these $4,500 to the investors. Why? Because he himself also holds a number of shares.
Right.
in our example, it was how many?
10
shares. Which means then that he can deduct out of that then his own shares.
One fifth
or 10 out of 50 shares, so that's $900. It means then that the net cash that he has to pay out to investors for their shares is $3,600. That is 40 shares by $90 each. Okay? Now, the main question here that you find in step 6 is the common question, how much am I going to, I'm going to pay as a homeowner? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are two types of payments that the homeowners would have to make. The first element we talked about is the investor's share in the rental value, the $3,600. But if the owner pays only the rental value, it means that he cannot build up his equity. So he will just remain forever owning only 10 shares.
Mm-hmm.
So the assumption is made here that he buys back 3 shares every year. And that would go towards his principal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you have in the second line here on the what the owner pays plus the price of 3 shares.
Mm-hmm.
We can assume that in the first year you can just price the shares as it was priced at the beginning of the year, $1,000 per share.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives them $3,000. The total comes to $6,600 total payment, which means that the monthly payment would come to $550 until the homeowner gets $3,000 to his principal or owns 3 more shares.
And now the time frame for certainly to be quite an attractive one from the homeowner's perspective. But what about the situation of the investors? What advantages or profits can they get from participating in the program?
Well, I definitely agree with you, Brother Hamid, that the system is far superior from the point of view of the homeowner than the conventional mortgage system. Suffice to say that in that system, the first year, year one of the operation, the owner is getting 3 shares to his principal. And as you know, under mortgage payments, most people will save thousands of dollars in monthly, certain monthly payments in a year, and get only a couple of $100 going to their principal.
If you're lucky, they got that in the first year.
Right, especially in the early years. It doesn't really go like that. But from the point of view of the investor, he's not losing either. You simply eliminated middlemen from the operation.
Mm-hmm.
From the point of view of the investor, he's getting a fair return on his income. How? Number one, he's getting already the shared in rental value. For each share that the person invested, he's getting back in the first year $90 by way of profit, which is the shared in the rental value. But that's not all. The second aspect of it also is that, as we mentioned earlier, the system works on sharing in both rental as well as the equity, which means that if the value of the property goes up, which is the normal case, then the investor also would be entitled to reap some of the benefits of the appreciation of the value of that property. In other words, the value of the share that he holds becomes greater, so he reaps also some of that benefit. So there are two ways of benefiting. In this case, for example, $90 per share comes to about, 9%. Right, and you know also that the appreciation in the value of the property usually is no less than 10%, not more. So he gains both ways.
10% would be a very conservative estimate for appreciation.
Oh yes, but
I think it'd be interesting to explain specifically how the investors share in the appreciation in the property. Do they have to wait until the end of the contract to collect the appreciation, or is it something that they get on an annual ongoing kind of basis?
No, they don't. And that's how this system is different, for example, from other systems that is based also on shared equity, that you have to wait until the property is sold or the contract is finished to collect. Because both systems also involve interest. It just reduced interest in return for some shares in equity. Mm-hmm. This system is it's totally different because there is no interest dealing whatsoever involved. Following the same assumption that you had before, that suppose you, as a homeowner, in addition to the payment of rent, you're also buying back 3 shares. When you buy those shares, for example, in the second year and every subsequent year, you will not be buying the shares at the price, original price of $1,000. Because at the beginning of the second year, the property value will go up, and let's assume again 10%, which means that the value of each share will go up 10%. So when you as a homeowner want to buy that and return this money back to the investors, you will not be paying $2,000, you will be paying $3,300. So that's, again, an immediate sweeping of benefits in addition to the rental value that you're getting from the owner. So you're getting both types of income on a gradual manner.
Well, can you give us an illustration of what happens in the subsequent year after these first year?
Well, perhaps by referring to the second chart, we can see exactly how steps, you know, can be followed to determine and resolve all these issues. First of all, in step one, we have the new fair value at the beginning of year two. The assumption in this model is, let's say, an increase of 10%. So that gives $55,000 because the original price was $50. It follows then that according to step two, that the new share value goes also by 10% because you divide the $55,000 by 50 shares. The number of shares, by the way, remains the same. The only change is changing hands as to who holds the share. It is only the value of that share that keeps changing. So you get the $1,100 as a price for the new price for the shares. Now, you go also to the rent value. New share rental value, again, is assumed in the model to increase by 10%, as we see in step 3, which means the income would be $5,940 per year. But like we mentioned before, also you have to deduct from that rental value the basic expenses, namely taxes, in insurance, and you assume also that it's done by 10%. It may not necessarily go by that much, but suppose you do that. Then you deduct the new expenses, which is $990 out of the $5,940. That gives you the net rental value in the chart in step 5 of $4,950. That comes to $99 per share. If you divide that by 50 shares, it comes to $99. Now, you might say that the share here is more than the shares in the first year. In the first year, the share in the rental value per share was $90. Now it's $99. But the percentage is approximately the same because the value of the share has gone up also. So it's $99 on $1,100 investment. So it comes to the same percentage in that particular case, which is 9%.
Mm-hmm.
In step 6, there's something interesting there. We said before that out of that net rental value, let's say in this case, $4,950, the owner does not have to pay all of that to the shareholders because he himself also is a shareholder. He holds a number of shares.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened here is that the proportion of rental that he has to pay to others will decline because he owns now 15 shares instead of 10, which means that his share out of that amount would be 4,950 multiplied by 15 shares divided by 50, the total number of shares. So that would be his share here, $1,287. It follows then that what he has actually to pay to investors in step 7 is their shares for 37. Shares that they are holding, which comes to $3,663. Clear so far? Now, as we mentioned before, he has also to buy some additional shares in order to acquire more equity. This time, suppose it continues to be 3 shares a year, he would have to buy the 3 shares at the new price, which is $1,100. So that gives you $3,300. Just add up these two, it gives you a total payment of $6,963, which comes to a monthly payment of $580. If you follow that system through, you do the same thing, repeat it, in year 3, calculate again the additional or the new fair value of the price of the house, and then go on to the fair value or new value of the share. Just follow the same thing, but every time increasing the actual increments in the value or expenses or whatever other whatever the case may be. I followed that calculation through, and at that particular rate of acquisition of equity, you could own the home fully in year 14.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I noticed that if you're going to see that they wanted on the second year, the monthly payment is a little bit higher than in the first year.
Yes.
As time goes on, is it possible to stabilize the monthly mortgage share payment?
You could do that without any problem. If you wanted to stabilize and say, right, I can't afford to pay for the next 5 years anything more than $550 a month, which you use in the first chart. By all means, it simply means that in year two, in order to keep the payments within that limit, you do not have to buy really three shares. You might buy, for example, 2.8 shares.
Mm-hmm.
You see the point? So you can buy slightly lesser number of shares and stabilize the monthly payment. However, when I made the calculation through for the 14 years, I found that if you follow that system, it might be more advantageous to you as a homeowner.
Yeah.
Why? Because you can acquire equity faster and as such reduce the amount of rental that you have to pay to other investors. This is one advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, the increment was not really that great. You have noticed, for example, from year one to year two, it increased only about $30. I looked through the figures of conventional expensive mortgage. You're talking about a loan from the mortgage company, which there's interest, which is, you have to pay interest also on it. But I mean here by mortgage is just the legal term that the property is held in collateral or as a guarantee to the investors. And this can be registered legally, can go through a lawyer, and it's not much problem. And that was done actually in the case that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that you might have to add to the conventional wording of the mortgage document is that the house is held in collateral and all that, is to say that the payment or the method of payment of the amount contributed by the investor shall be determined in accordance with Schedule A, for example. And in essence, you put it in appendix with the mortgage document, the specific details and clauses which determine exactly the same thing that you're talking about here, how the value will be reassessed, how the new value of the shares will be calculated, and all the remaining issues pertaining to the full calculation of the system. Just the appendix to the mortgage agreement. It could be guaranteed and registered officially, of course, with the registry agreed.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's probably another aspect that people would be interested in, particularly those from the investment point of view, and that's the income tax implications of the city and the scheme. Mm-hmm. Would you like to comment on that, for example?
Well, that's an interesting question, and perhaps it might be a new issue that we face to tax department. Because the income that you're getting as an investor, leave alone the homeowner, because that's mm-hmm. the first home thing that, you know, no problem with it. But for you as an investor, suppose you put $10,000, and then at the end of the year, you get your share in the rental value, which is $90 per share. Let's say you get $900. How to report that for income tax purposes? Like I said, I mean, this is a matter that, we have to get a ruling from the tax department on it. But it appears to me that it can be dealt with in one of two ways. One, it could be regarded as income on investment.
Mm-hmm.
Something similar to dividends, for example, because that's basically what it is. It could be regarded as such. And if that's acceptable to the tax department, it would enjoy, of course, the deduction, which would allow it for interest and or dividends.
Mm-hmm.
That could be one way of looking at it. In fact, even though it's not interest, it may be regarded as the closest thing to interest, and there is a possibility also that it may be dealt with as interest income. This is, like I said, again, a matter for tax people to rule on.
Mm-hmm.
The other possibility is that the investor could also report that as rental income, but not the homeowner, because the homeowner, of course, is staying in the home, so it's not really a true income to him.
Yeah.
But other investors who receive this $90 a share, let's say, in the first year, can report this as rental income, which is charged to the homeowners. And in the meantime, they can also deduct from that social income the depreciation, which is again permissible in many number of cases.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the three possible ways, and whichever way you look at it, it would not be probably less advantageous than any other type of income that you might be obtaining by way of investments or other ventures.
Okay, well, this is a very exciting concept, the idea of shared equity and rental. We've exhausted our time for the day. We want to invite you back next week, and we'll continue with the second part of our program. And in that program, we'll talk about some other important questions to deal with, such as the question of resale of the property, the cost of maintenance, and so on. In the meantime, if you want to get more information on what you've heard about today, you can contact Dr. Jamal Battery, either through the station or at St. Mary's University, or by calling 445-2494. Thank you for watching. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Allah'a emanet olun.